Have you ever wondered who you truly are beneath your memories? What if one day you wake up with no recollection of your past? Would you still be the same person? This is the compelling premise of Gordon Corman's Restart, a book that has captivated young readers and adults alike since its publication in 2017. The novel has become a staple in middle school classrooms across America, with educators praising its nuanced exploration of identity, redemption, and second chances. Celebrities like Emma Watson have recommended it for its powerful message about personal transformation, while psychologists frequently cite it as an accessible way to discuss character development with adolescents. At its core, this story asks a profound question that resonates with anyone who has ever wished for a fresh start. If given the chance to rebuild yourself from scratch, who would you choose to become? Chase Ambrose opens his eyes in a hospital room surrounded by strangers who claim to be his family. The fall from his roof has left him with acute retrograde amnesia, a complete erasure of his personal history while retaining basic functional knowledge. His mother's worried face, his brother's cautious distance, and the doctor's clinical explanations all point to one unsettling reality. He has no idea who he is. The medical team explains that while he can still read, write, and understand how the world works, 13 years of personal memories have vanished like smoke. The only fragment that remains from his previous life is a peculiar image of a little blonde girl in a blue dress with white lace, a mysterious memory that seems disconnected from everything else. This single remnant haunts him, floating in his consciousness without context or explanation, making him question its significance. As Chase returns home, he encounters a bedroom that tells the story of someone he doesn't recognize. Sports trophies line the shelves, football, baseball, wrestling, and newspaper clippings celebrate athletic achievements he doesn't remember earning. Headlines proclaim, "Ambrose leads Warriors to championship," and "Middle school star athlete dominates season," creating a portrait of athletic excellence that feels foreign to him. His phone reveals a disturbing selfie. Chase, with two other boys, grinning wildly while holding a mangled jack-o'-lantern on a baseball bat, an image that makes him uncomfortable, though he can't explain why. The reactions of those around him provide the first clues about his former self, painting a complex and troubling picture. His father, Frank, treats him like a returning champion, disappointed that doctor's orders prohibit football this season, constantly reminiscing about past games and victories Chase can't recall. His stepmother, Corinne, and half-sister, Helene, seem oddly afraid of him, flinching at sudden movements and speaking in careful, measured tones. Their body language suggests years of walking on eggshells. Even more telling is when a girl at an ice cream shop dumps frozen yogurt on his head when he smiles at her, a reaction that leaves him bewildered but suggests his past contains darker chapters than he initially imagined. The incident draws stares from other customers who seem to recognize him, their expressions mixing curiosity with what appears to be fear. Chase's amnesia creates a fascinating psychological experiment, forcing him to reconstruct his identity from the fragments others provide. Without memories to anchor his identity, he must piece together who he was through the reflections in other people's eyes. And what he sees disturbs him deeply. A star athlete who apparently inspired fear rather than admiration. A son whose father celebrates his toughness while his mother seems relieved by his gentler post-accident personality. Teachers eye him warily when he returns to school, as if expecting trouble, while some students whisper and point. The contrast creates the central tension of his new existence. Was he truly the person everyone describes? And, more importantly, does he have to become that person again? This clean slate offers both an opportunity and a burden, the chance to redefine himself, but also the weight of a past he must either embrace or reject without fully understanding it. As Chase begins eighth grade at Hiawassee Middle School, he immediately senses something is amiss. Students don't just avoid him, they actively scatter, pressing themselves against lockers when he walks by. Teachers eye him with a mixture of suspicion and resignation, their forced smiles barely masking their wariness. His former friends Aaron Hakimian and Bear Bratsky, the boys from the infamous pumpkin-smashing photo that now makes him cringe, greet him with enthusiastic high-fives and inside jokes he can't remember. Their excitement turning to confusion when he admits he has no memory of their shared exploits. The truth about his past emerges in devastating fragments. Chase wasn't merely the school's celebrated football star. He was its most feared tormentor, an alpha rat who ruled through intimidation and cruelty. Together with Aaron and Bear, he orchestrated systematic campaigns of harassment against vulnerable classmates. Their primary target was Joel Weber, a gifted pianist whose only crime was being different, and whose twin sister Shoshana finally stood up to Chase by dumping strawberry yogurt on his head in the cafeteria, an act of defiance that became school legend. The extent of Chase's bullying becomes painfully clear as he uncovers more details. He and his friends stole lunch money, destroyed personal belongings, and spread vicious rumors. Their relentless persecution of Joel, including daily physical intimidation and mockery of his musical passion, ultimately forced the talented student to abandon his family and friends for a distant boarding school specializing in music. The separation fractured not only the Weber family, but also the school community, which had lost one of its brightest stars. The cherry bomb incident proves particularly revealing of both Chase's former character and the system that enabled him. During Joel's crucial piano recital, Chase planted explosives that could have caused serious harm. Yet even this dangerous act resulted in minimal consequences, as the school board, eager to protect their star athlete, swept it under the rug. The principal's current advice to rebuild himself takes on a sharp irony as Chase realizes the magnitude of destruction his former self left in his wake. This revelation triggers an intense identity crisis. The school's social hierarchy expects Chase to reclaim his position as top dog, but he finds himself physically repulsed by acts of cruelty he witnesses. When his football teammates knock down Brendan Espinoza, scattering his lunch across the floor, Chase's instinctive response to help and apologize creates ripples of confusion throughout the cafeteria. This small act of kindness, so at odds with his previous persona, leaves both Chase and his observers struggling to reconcile past and present. The disconnect between his reputation and his current inclinations creates a fascinating psychological dilemma. Chase must navigate complex relationships with those who either cower before him or celebrate his past brutality, actions he not only can't remember but finds morally repugnant. While his amnesia offers a clean slate personally, the consequences of his actions continue to echo through the school's halls. This raises profound questions about the nature of character. Is our moral compass hardwired, or can it be reset by circumstance? Does a fresh start truly allow for transformation, or are we forever bound by the shadows of our past actions? Chase's search for identity leads him to forge unexpected connections. When Brendan Espinoza, a former bullying victim, desperately needs a cameraman for his YouTube video project, Chase volunteers. Together, they film Brendan riding a tricycle through a car wash, a ridiculous stunt that creates a genuine bond between them. When confronted by the car wash manager, Chase experiences firsthand how reputations work both ways. Brendan's status as the nerdy video club president actually saves them from trouble. This collaboration opens a door to a new social circle. Chase joins the video club, where he meets Shoshana Weber again, this time in a context where she can't simply dump yogurt on him and walk away. Though initially hostile, their shared interest in videography creates reluctant common ground. When Chase suggests interviewing Mr. Julius Solway, a Korean War veteran and Medal of Honor recipient at the retirement home where he volunteers for Shoshana's journalism contest, they become unlikely partners. Their visits to Portland Street assisted living residents reveal another dimension of Chase's evolving character. While his friends Aaron and Bear treat community service as a punishment to be endured, calling all residents Dumbledore or Dumbledora, regardless of gender, and stealing cookies from confused elderly people, Chase finds himself genuinely enjoying helping the residents. He adjusts beds, finds lost TV remotes, and forms a special bond with the gruff Mr. Solway, who respects Chase's direct approach and lack of hero worship despite his mettle. These new relationships provide Chase with alternative models for his identity. Rather than defining himself through dominance and athletics, he discovers satisfaction in creative collaboration and genuine service to others. The video club members, initially wary, begin to accept him based on his current behavior rather than his reputation. Mr. Solway, who has no knowledge of Chase's bullying past, treats him with a gruff respect that Chase finds more meaningful than his father's expectations or his former teammate's deference. These new relationships provide Chase with alternative models for his identity. Rather than defining himself through dominance and athletics, he discovers satisfaction in creative collaboration and genuine service to others. The video club members, initially wary, begin to accept him based on his current behavior rather than his reputation. Mr. Solway, who has no knowledge of Chase's bullying past, treats him with a gruff respect that Chase finds more meaningful than his father's expectations or his former teammate's deference. This section of Chase's journey illustrates how identity isn't formed in isolation, but through our connections with others. By stepping outside his former social circle, Chase discovers aspects of himself that might have remained dormant had he simply resumed his old life. His amnesia becomes not just a loss, but an opportunity to explore paths that were previously closed to him by his own choices and others' expectations. Chase's new identity faces its first major test when he witnesses his football teammates bullying Brendan in the hallway after a pep rally. Without hesitation, he grabs Joey Petronas by the jersey and slams him against the wall, demanding they let Brendan go. This confrontation marks a decisive moment. Chase defends the video club by saying, "We were shooting your pep rally," identifying with his new friends rather than his old team. The reaction is immediate and polarizing. The football players are horrified that their former leader now identifies with nerds, while the video club members are grateful, except for Shoshana, who remains skeptical of Chase's transformation. This incident forces Chase to choose between his former social status and his new values, a choice made more complicated when his father arranges an appointment with a sports medicine specialist who might clear him to play football again. Meanwhile, Chase's friendship with Shoshana deepens as they work on their video project about Mr. Solway. Their partnership evolves beyond mere collaboration. They visit the veteran regularly, even after filming concludes. A breakthrough occurs when Joel returns from boarding school, still traumatized by Chase's past bullying. Though initially hostile, Joel gradually warms to the new Chase, even opening his window so Chase can hear him play piano while waiting outside their house. This delicate rebuilding of trust illustrates how genuine change requires more than good intentions. It demands consistent actions over time. Chase's patient acceptance of Joel's anger and his willingness to remain outside the Weber house until invited in demonstrate a humility his former self never possessed. When finally invited inside, Chase finds himself unexpectedly emotional at this simple acceptance, recognizing its significance as validation of his transformation. The crossroads becomes literal when Chase must decide whether to back Aaron and Bear's lie about the fire extinguisher incident in the music room. Facing Dr. Fitzwallace, Chase makes the calculated decision to support their false story about putting out a fire, recognizing that the principal seems to want this easier solution. Though they escape punishment, Chase is troubled by how easily he slipped back into his old pattern of lying to avoid consequences, suggesting that character transformation isn't a single decision, but an ongoing series of choices. As Chase struggles with his identity, fragments of memory begin returning, not in a flood, but in disturbing flashes that reveal uncomfortable truths about his former self. The most devastating revelation comes when Aaron and Bear confront him after football practice, accusing him of faking amnesia to avoid his obligations to them. The shocking truth emerges. Before his accident, Chase stole Mr. Solway's Medal of Honor from Portland Street. As Aaron and Bear demand their share of the medal's value, a memory flashes back. Chase sees his own hand taking the medal. This revelation devastates him, confirming his worst fears about who he used to be. Not only was he a bully, but he was the ringleader, worse than even Aaron and Bear. This discovery sends Chase back to the scene of his accident, where he realizes the painting of the girl in the blue dress, his only surviving memory, must be connected to his fall. Climbing carefully to his roof peak, he discovers he can see perfectly into the neighbor's sunroom where the painting hangs. Behind a loose shake, he finds Mr. Solway's hidden medal, and the final memory unlocks. He was on the roof spying on Mr. Tottenham doing yoga in ridiculous yellow spandex, reached for his phone to take a humiliating picture, lost his balance, and fell. The irony is perfect. Chase's accident occurred during an act of mockery, the very behavior that defined his former self. His fall, both literal and metaphorical, created the opportunity for his rebirth. With the medal recovered, Chase rushes to Portland Street to return it to its rightful owner, determined to make amends regardless of consequences. This section represents Chase's full confrontation with his past. Rather than continuing to see himself as separate from the old Chase, he must accept that they are the same person, that his capacity for cruelty and theft existed before his amnesia and might still exist after. This realization forces him to take full responsibility, not just for his current actions, but for those he can't remember, a crucial step in genuine character development. Chase's attempt to return the medal leads to chaos at Portland Street when Aaron and Bear intercept him. A violent struggle erupts, Bear attacking Chase, Kimberly and Shoshana trying to pull Bear off, and even timid Brendan bravely joining the fight despite being severely outmatched. The conflict ends only when Mr. Solway crashes his walker into Aaron as he prepares to swing the vacuum cleaner at Chase's head. In the aftermath, Chase extracts the Medal of Honor from the vacuum bag and confesses to stealing it before his accident. Despite Brendan defending him, Chase accepts full responsibility, explaining he'd hidden it behind a loose shake on his roof. That's what he was doing when he fell. Nurse Duncan, witnessing this confession, calls the police. As Chase awaits his juvenile court hearing, he's consumed with guilt, particularly because he's grown to respect Mr. Solway so much. His mother keeps him home from school, which suits him fine since he doesn't want to face everyone's contempt. Surprisingly, his father and stepmother are supportive, with Frank even showing pride in Chase's strength of character despite his stupid moment. The court hearing becomes the final test of Chase's transformation. The courtroom fills with people from school, not to condemn him, but to support him. After his parents and doctor testify about his transformation, Shoshana unexpectedly takes the stand and, despite acknowledging his guilt, vouches for his character. Then, remarkably, everyone in the courtroom lines up to speak on his behalf. When the judge asks if Chase can guarantee he's no longer the same person who stole the medal, he faces the most difficult truth of all. The old and new Chase are an entirely separate people. His amnesia created an opportunity for change, but that change required conscious choices, choices he continues to make every day. His redemption comes not from forgetting his past, but from acknowledging it and choosing a different path forward. This courtroom scene represents the community's verdict on Chase's transformation. Their willingness to support him despite knowing his guilt suggests that redemption is possible, that people can change and be accepted based on who they are becoming rather than who they were. The judge's question forces Chase to articulate what he's learned, that identity isn't fixed by the past or erased by amnesia, but continually shaped by our choices in the present. While Chase faces legal consequences for stealing the medal, another truth remains buried. his innocence in the music room incident. When Brendan reviews footage from his one-man band video project, he discovers crucial evidence that completely changes the narrative. The footage clearly shows Chase wasn't attacking Joel, but desperately trying to restrain Bear from causing further damage. The fire extinguisher hitting Joel's face was a tragic accident that occurred during Chase's attempt to prevent violence, not instigate it. This revelation prompts Brendan to organize a careful viewing session at his house, where Shoshana and Joel watch the video evidence frame by frame. Joel, showing remarkable maturity, accepts Chase's innocence immediately and expresses regret for his assumptions. Shoshana, whose initial judgment of Chase had been particularly harsh, struggles with the evidence before her. Her reluctant admission that she might owe Chase an apology represents a significant shift in perspective, highlighting how deeply ingrained prejudices can be challenged by concrete evidence. The video serves as a powerful metaphor for objective truth in an era of snap judgments and preconceptions. Everyone involved, from teachers to students and even Chase himself, had automatically assumed his guilt based on his troubled history rather than investigating the facts. Chase's reputation as a former bully had created such a strong confirmation bias that even he began to doubt his own memories of the incident. The video footage acts as an impartial witness, forcing everyone to confront their rush to judgment and reconsider their assumptions about character and redemption. This subplot masterfully illustrates the complexity of personal growth and rehabilitation. While Chase undeniably made a serious mistake by lying to Dr. Fitzwallace about his presence during the incident, his motivation came from fear rather than malice. His decision to accept punishment for a crime he didn't commit rather than implicate others shows a complicated moral evolution. This nuanced portrayal reflects the reality of character development. People rarely transform overnight, instead progressing through a series of steps forward, interspersed with occasional missteps. Brendan's pivotal role in uncovering the truth demonstrates the value of intellectual honesty and open-mindedness. Despite feeling personally betrayed by Chase's recent actions, Brendan maintains enough objectivity to recognize and pursue the truth when he stumbles upon it. His willingness to look beyond his own hurt feelings and examine evidence fairly proves instrumental in Chase's eventual rehabilitation. This development strengthens the video club's dynamic and helps repair fractured relationships within the broader school community. The incident serves as a turning point in how the school community views both evidence and character. It challenges the simplistic notion that past behavior perfectly predicts future actions, while also acknowledging that redemption requires both truth and accountability. The resolution demonstrates how objective evidence can bridge the gap between perception and reality, allowing for genuine understanding and forgiveness to take root. The final chapter reveals the lasting changes in Chase and those around him. Warrior, the documentary Chase and Shoshana created about Mr. Solway, wins first prize in the National Video Journalism Contest. Chase returns to the video club, where his creative contributions are once again valued. The football team has become more respectful toward non-athletes, though Aaron and Bear remain social outcasts. Chase continues recovering memories of his former life, sometimes looking haunted when recalling his past behavior. This ongoing process suggests that his transformation isn't complete, that integrating his past and present selves remains challenging work. Yet the community has accepted him based on his current actions rather than his history. Perhaps most significantly, Joel has returned to Hiawassee Middle School permanently, refusing to be chased away again. His willingness to stand up for himself represents his own transformation, parallel to Chase's. Kimberly and Brendan have formed a relationship, suggesting that authentic connections can emerge when people move beyond superficial judgments. Mr. Solway has become the video club's unofficial mascot, though he still refuses to be called a hero. His friendship with Chase symbolizes the possibility of connection across generations and circumstances, a relationship built on mutual respect rather than Chase's former pattern of mockery and exploitation. The novel's resolution avoids suggesting that Chase's transformation erases his past actions or their consequences. Instead, it presents redemption as an ongoing process requiring both personal change and community acceptance. Chase must continue choosing who he wants to be each day, while others must decide whether to judge him by his past or his present. This nuanced conclusion reflects the book's sophisticated understanding of identity formation. We are shaped by our memories and experiences, yet we retain the capacity to change. Our character isn't determined solely by our past actions, but by the choices we continue to make. Chase's amnesia provided a dramatic reset button few people experience, but his story suggests that transformation is possible for anyone willing to honestly confront their past while consciously choosing a different future.